Well, we're so excited to talk about the Word of God with you guys again today, and glad that you're up and out of the house after a week. Anyone get stir crazy this week? You guys are, but you still made it to church. You're like, yeah, could have used another week of that. Mm-hmm. So, big blizzard week if you're watching this video down the road sometime later. We just got done with 5 days of blizzard and digging out and shoveling out, and so it is Sunday. We're here now, and we're here to talk about Jesus. So turn your attention, if you would, with me to our large screen up front and see if you can diagnose what's happening here. What is going on in that picture? Yeah, so what does the blue smoke mean? Yeah, so they're letting us know that there's a baby boy on the way. What's anyone know what show this is? Yeah, it's Chip and Joanna Gaines. And the show is called Fixer Upper. Yep, Fixer Upper. And everyone's like, oh yeah, that's what it was. What are they doing at this point in the show? Is this at the beginning of the show or the end of the show? End of the show. And what's happening here? What's that? They're ready to show the house. Well, there is the house. So they've got this, like, I love how they did that, this huge image of the house, what it looked like before, and then it's on wheels, and then they roll it away, and it opens up, and then they see right behind it is, like, because they have it lined up just right, and the cameras are just right, then you see the new house, or the old house that's now made new. And so they're getting ready to show what the house is going to look like after it's all fixed up. Right, exactly. I was going to say something about Irv's plumbing and 2x4 repair or whatever. And what's happening in this picture? Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on in this picture. The logs, we need Irv, we need more wood on the fire. That's what's going on here. Okay, well, we stumped them on this one. Nobody knows what to think of this picture. What do these three, let me back up. What is that scene, this scene, and that scene? What's going on? Yeah, what's happening? Give me some feedback. What's happening in all those scenes? Can't wait, yep. Anticipation, revealing.
You got to read the Luke Christmas story before we
go. Oh, yeah, exactly. So we got to read, that's Christmas Eve. We're going to read Luke, yes, exactly, I think. So what's going on in all three of these scenes, these pictures, is the big reveal, the great reveal, right? Getting ready to reveal something. So you're revealing, you know, the baby's gender, right? In the first one, you're about to reveal what the house looks like after it's been remodeled. And why do you wrap presents? So there can be a reveal, right? Like, otherwise, you would just go buy stuff. So what's the big deal about the reveal? Right? So the great reveal, every time in each one of these, or every time we're having this kind of a reveal, there is a bunch of you guys said this, anticipation. You guys remember the old Heinz 57 commercial? Yeah. Anticipation is making me, right? Hold it up because it was so thick and rich. Yep. Anticipation, kind of this looking forward, this yearning. You know what else there is? Especially in that last photo, extreme curiosity. Has anyone ever gotten in trouble for peeking? Anyone ever gotten in trouble? Nobody ever. There was. See now. I can see more nods than you can. They're being kind of honest. Like, they don't want to get their presents taken away this year. So they're just like, yep, I bet I'm going to be very honest because I'm an honest person, right? So, anyone ever gone upstairs in your grandma's house and dug the present out that had your name on it time and time again and kept peeling the one corner open so that you could finally see that it was blades of a helicopter? And then really get in trouble for that? Yeah. It was a red helicopter. And I had to know what it was. And I really got in trouble for that. Because I had extreme curiosity. What else do we have? Every one of these, there's a lot of joy, right? Anyone get joyful about Christmas presents or birthday presents or, you know, gender reveals or like all that stuff? When there's this revealing, we get excited about that. We get joyful about it. We're curious about it. We're anticipating it. Every one of these in some way, shape, or another impacts the future, right? The day, depending on when you open your Christmas, for us it was always Christmas Eve, you know, the day after or the afternoon after, depending on when it is largely going to be determined by what I unwrap that morning, right? Often you don't have kids, unless they're like Marnie when they're little or whatever, you don't unwrap it and then be like, oh, that's so nice, I'm going to set it on a shelf so it doesn't get broken, right? And then you couldn't play with them, right? Right? With love, but oh, how cruel, right? But it impacts our future, right? The home reveal is going to, it's going to impact their future. What gifts you open is going to impact, it's going to have a bearing on your life going forward. And every one of these, I was just pondering kind of these three things that I was, and kind of pondering reveals. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, almost, like, I can't think of one example of a great reveal that doesn't involve other people. Like, someone's revealing something to someone, often with someone, and often for someone, right? The gender reveal, that's going to reveal, right, Justin? A baby. Hold on now. Justin and I are going to have a little counseling here. Justin? I don't know, there's going to be some joy, and I know you were extremely curious, but this baby's going to impact your future, just saying, and it involves other people, right? Like, this is kind of common sense, but at the same time, every one of these, it doesn't happen solo. Every one of these reveals, it involves other people and our connection with other people and the anticipation with other people and the future involvement for other people. And every one of these, this one might seem a little weird, but every one of these involves, come on, work. The great reveal is not working. Well, no. It involves a story. I had a notification come up. That's why it was off of there. It involves a story. Like every one of those, I bet you the two people holding the blue smoke things, I bet they've got a story how they got to that place, right? Right? You know, the great reveal of the dollar store wedding ring, right? What was, they went to the dollar store. Not to get the ring, but they did go to the dollar store when they got, it was closed. So, I mean, it's not completely accurate, but you know what I mean. I'm a pastor. We massage the details a little bit. But I bet there's a story behind that. You know, they didn't just wake up one day and be like, oh, I think I'll marry someone. And they like scroll down and pick it, right? There's a story behind it. There's a story behind how Chip and Joanna Gaines and how they fixed up that house. There's a story of what was going to happen in that house now going forward. There's a story behind all these Christmas presents. Well, we just got, you know, little Johnny, we just got him underwear because that's, you know, well, even that, there's a story behind it. There's a story why Johnny doesn't have any underwear, right? But there's a story behind our gifts. Well, I got him often in parents, you can see they get excited about one or two of the gifts and they're like, why are you excited about that? Oh, because I know he loves this or she loves playing with that or they love, you know, baking. So we got him a little Betty Crocker baking set so they can bake with us or whatever. You know, like there's a story behind it. And it involves other people, and it affects the future. And so we're talking about the great reveal. And we're talking about how God is revealed in our story. How God is revealed in our story. Now, I love reveals. I love surprises. I didn't know that about myself until we got married. And I just remember getting frustrated because Marty doesn't place as much. Marty's all about, she just loves peace and loves people to be happy. So I can't think of any specific, thankfully for me, can't think of any specific examples. But she would just kind of just say something. I'm like, no, you got to build up the anticipation. I think because I'm a storyteller. So I always like the kind of the cliffhanger and then the big reveal. And I didn't really know that about, now I clearly know that about myself. And so I'm always looking for, how do we reveal something? How do we share the big news, or, you know, kind of like build up to, like with our kids, it drives them nuts. You know, where are we going? Oh, just get in the van, right? And we took them to Oak Island because we watched the Oak Island treasure show or whatever, and we held it as a surprise the whole way. I just kind of love that, and it very much annoys my family, but I'm always like, ooh, you don't need to know yet. Well, should we pack warm clothes or cold clothes? I don't know, but we're going to get there, and you're going to find out. Should we bring anything with? Oh, we'll know later, right? It's hard to plan when you do that kind of stuff, but I love the big reveal. There's something about the anticipation, the punchline. I'm a joke teller, not a good one, but, you know, I love, like, there's the buildup for the punchline, right? And so there's this anticipation and this building that comes. So I know, had I been God, this would have been a whole big mess. But there was 400 years where there was complete silence from heaven. We're going to see that in one of the quotes here. There was 400 years where there was no prophet profiting. There was no teller telling. There was no preacher preaching. It was just silence from God. And we read through the Bible multiple places when the time was right, or in the fullness of time, there was at just this right moment, Jesus was sent. Now, I would have done something like fanfare, light up the sky, hold the phone. You know, in the movies where all of a sudden everyone stops? The stop the show moment. Now, it could be terror, you know, it could be like evil, it could be beauty, there's lots of things. It could be like excitement, but like everyone stops. There's always someone holding the glass, drinking something, and they drop it. Everyone's just standing there wide-eyed and open-jawed. I would have went more towards those lines because it's Jesus. It's God become man, right? It's the salvation of the world. It's this plan that's been hatched from the creation of the world, the Bible says, and now at just the right time. I feel like, and this is totally wrong because the Bible's right and I'm wrong, but I feel like this was just a wasted moment. And we know that's ridiculous. It wasn't. It's not at all. God knows what he's doing. Kirk doesn't. That is very clear. We've got lots of evidence for that on both sides. God knows what he's doing. I don't. Right? But I feel like it should have been look at this, and the whole world just stops in their tracks, and everyone looks in awe at God become man. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day like that. See, we're wired. God and I are wired the same a little bit. Like, the second coming is going to be a lot more like that. It says the sky is going to light up, and everyone's going to see, and you're going to know. There's going to be this jaw-dropping moment. But the first advent, the first coming of the King, the first showing up of Jesus on the scene showed up in a completely different way. It showed up, God showed up, God injected himself into our story. And I want you to catch this. As I've been meditating on this, I don't know if you know, we had a blizzard this week. So I've had a lot of time to kind of mull this over in my head and think about this. Thinking about how much God subtly, say subtle. You subtly said subtle. That was very quiet. Say subtle. Subtle. What does subtle mean? It means like very unnoticed, very like sometimes I'm not very subtle. Barney is subtle. I'm not very subtle. I can be brash and audacious and right. I could use some subtlety in my life. But God comes in subtly. And you know what he did? He injected himself into people's storyline that kept going. The story of their lives kept on going. Now it got interrupted and it changed, but their story kept going. And I find that as such a powerful principle, that everything's different and yet it's not. Like, our story keeps going. And sometimes, because we're the kind of church that believe God shows up. We believe that today in 2022, getting ready to go into 23, that miracles happen, that the laws of nature can be suspended. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen people healed. We've seen miracles happen. We know that God does that. But I also know that God moves most in the mundane. The Monday, right? The Thursdays. Thursdays are good days, aren't they? Right? In those kind of moments is where God does a bulk of his work. It's where God continues to move when we don't feel like always that there's something happening, but God is moving because our story is still being written. Think about it. Mary and Joseph, what was going on in their story at the time that Jesus came? They were engaged to be married, right? Well, then they must have not got married, right? No, they got married. They raised Jesus. We're going to look at some of that. Right? The shepherds, you know, the angels showed up. Now, that was the most kind of, that was the least subtle of all the story of it. You know, Simeon and Anna, like all of the people in the Christmas story, their story kept going. But just now the revelation of God had showed up in their story. And I know I'm not explaining this very well because I've had a whole week to kind of mull this over. But I've been more fascinated by that fact. Because, like, man, when you're holding all the guys, like, guys, you know, you got a big gun or a big motor or something, like, you're not comfortable just staying in second gear, right? You're not comfortable with it just on, like, you want to hear that thing go bang, right? You want to see how loud it can be, how fast can it go, how, like we want to know that. I remember one of my great reveals. I had a fast car. I had an early 70s Le Mans, and it had a 350 in it, stock, and I blew that up going way faster than anybody should before. This is pre-Jesus, right? Okay, so we're just talking about before the Lord gripped a hold of my heart and blew up my motor. And so, again, because there's a lie involved in this story as well. This is not to be promoted. Don't ever do anything like this. And so I found a 400 to put in there, but I told all my friends that I was putting a 280 in. Okay? So I know. We're just family today, right? We're just having fun. So I remember the day that I had my great reveal. Went up to a town that we were all in and went up on Main Street, and we had been kind of all hanging out. Well, I got ready to leave that night. And so I pulled my car in front of everybody and backed up just a little bit and then put it in gear and hit the gas. And all you could do was hear me because you couldn't see me for the cloud of smoke. The tires were roasting and we were just driving away. And I asked another friend later, what'd everyone say? And they're like, that's not a 280. That was my great reveal, right? Like, I love that. And I love just kind of putting that out there. But God says, you know what? I want to subtly come into your life and then profoundly transform it. But I want to be a part of your story. And there's going to be that day when Jesus comes and we all do the stop take. But the story of Jesus is not that story. The story of Jesus. So I can't say enough how I've been so fascinated how God held and restrained himself from putting that on display because he wanted so much for our hearts to be pulled and for us to say yes. He didn't want us to be forced and coerced. Like if someone's standing there with a gun saying, tell me you love me, right? Okay, I love you, right? No, he wanted to present the clues and offer an invitation. and woo our hearts for those who are willing to look. For those who wanted to see it, he's more than plenty visible for those who wanted to see. And for those who weren't, he wouldn't enter their story. He would always be throwing out love bombs and just saying, will you come? But he would let them walk their own way. And so I've got a number of quotes from this guy named Daniel Darling. It's a cute name. He was wrote a book called The Characters of Christmas. So a bunch of the quotes are from that. And he said this, Christmas is a powerful reminder that what is important in heaven is often unimportant on earth. Just let that statement marinate in your heart. Of what's important in heaven is often unimportant on the earth. While the world was sleeping, the Son of God made his entrance. And this was cause for celebration in heaven as the host of heaven rejoiced at the unfolding of God's plan. He goes on to say this, for 400 years, God had been silent. There were no prophets, no angels appearing, nothing miraculous. But now the heavens opened with rejoicing and the news came to the people you'd least expect to employ as your messengers of the good news. Hey, we are glad that you guys are undug. Greetings. Yeah, so we're going to look at a few Bible characters from the Bible story of Christ's birth and see what it has to talk about God showing up in our story. Now, these could have multiple meanings, but we're going to pick something from each one of these guys. We're going to talk about Joseph. And we look at Joseph and we see what happens when God shows up in the story of those who are confused and feel betrayed. And so how do we take this story from 2,000 years ago and how is it relevant to my life today? You got to remember, these characters are real people with real emotions, real jobs, real families, real disappointments, right? They lived their real lives. And so we see in Matthew chapter 1, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. I love how it says this. It was discovered. Take that phrase, put it into your mind and into your life and what that would feel like. Today, it was discovered. It was discovered that the lady that I'm engaged to is pregnant. It was discovered. Talk about confusion, betrayal, an overwhelming swell of emotions. Has anyone, you don't have to raise your hand. Has anyone ever done anything silly or stupid when you're feeling betrayed and wounded and hurt and confused, right? And we see Joseph. Well, I'll let a couple of people talk about Joseph here. While little is said about Joseph, one can imagine how his heart must have broken. He genuinely loved Mary, and yet the word came that she was pregnant. His love for her was demonstrated now by his actions. Listen to this. He chose not to create a public scandal by exposing her condition to the judges at the city gate. That was his right to do. Such an act could have resulted in Mary's death by stoning. Instead, he decided to divorce her quietly. And then Daniel goes on in his book to talk about this. Matthew tells us that Joseph was righteous. And he tells us this before Joseph was told of Jesus' supernatural birth. He was righteous because, listen to this, he was committed to following the law. He was going to divorce her because that was the law for divorcing an unfaithful spouse. But he was going to do it in the most selfless, compassionate way. We don't know much about Joseph, but we do know this. He was a faithful follower of a God who would do right when it cost him the most. Think about that. Joseph could have gotten even. He could have made a scene. I believe that God would have intervened and let him know what was going on. But this was before he knew what was really happening. Joseph decided he was going to take the high road. I could get even with Mary, but you know what? As wounded and as hurt as I am, as much as my heart is burning and breaking and crying and screaming within me, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to divorce her, but I'm not going to take her. I'm going to do it quietly so that she can move on with her life. I don't know what led her to make the choices that she made, but in my wounded heart, I'm still going to do a righteous thing. I'm going to have compassion. I'm going to have mercy. Think about that. Joseph was a godly man. He would be then a faithful steward of the Son of God. All right? So we could talk a long time about each one of these guys, but we're just going to do some quick, except for Mary. We're going to spend a little bit of time on Mary. So we read Mary We find out with Mary what it looks like when God shows up in the story of the ordinary. You don't have to raise your hands, but anyone ever just felt like an ordinary person? Everyone ever had someone tell you, "I wish you were ordinary"? Don't raise your hand. But what happens when God shows up in ordinary people in extraordinary ways? So we read in Luke 1, so who was it? Irv saying we needed to read this? So here, we're reading the Christmas story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Goes on to say, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." A little girl who was a nobody from a little town that was a nobody, right? Nazareth. We read in from Daniel, he said, "Nazareth would not have shown up quickly on your map. To get to Nazareth, you had to bypass Jerusalem, the city of David." Think about this, the city of David. Jesus is the descendant of David. Born in Nazareth? Wait a minute. To get to Nazareth, you had to bypass Jerusalem, the city of David, and the center of religious life among the Jewish people. To get to Nazareth, you had to head straight to the part of Caesar's empire that was least desirable, Judea. Nazareth was such a backwater that the first thing Nathanael, who would become a disciple, said about Jesus was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Right? Mary wasn't highfalutin and from the right city and the right family. In fact, if we could rewrite the Christmas story, this is probably where we'd make most of our edits. You can't have a hero emerge from a place like Nazareth. He goes on and says, what's more, Gabriel didn't choose to make this announcement to Herod's daughter or to a member of the elite Jewish society, but to a poor, illiterate, unimportant Jewish girl in a town called Nazareth named Mary. As we celebrate Advent this season, as we examine all the characters of Christmas, there is none so unlikely to be at the center of this divine story as Mary. Mary was not looking for prominence. She was, like every other Jewish peasant girl in Nazareth, simply living out an ordinary life in an ordinary town with unassuming dreams. Mary had a story. And God showed up and invited himself into Mary's story. And Mary had a choice. And she said, "Let it be unto me according to your word. So be it. Let it happen to me." Mary said yes. Daniel says, we often think God works through extreme giftedness or among those who are wealthy and well-connected. But the Christmas story, listen, the Christmas story reminds us that God moves in and among those whom society most often leaves behind. That the thread of redemption woven through Scripture winds its way through a lot of small towns and seemingly little lives. You guys are ordinary. That means you're prime candidates for a powerful encounter and move of God. Amen? Come on. God moves in the ordinary. That's what we see in the Christmas story here. Goes on, he says, nobody knew Mary's name. Nobody but God, of course. And God knows your name. This is what it means that God is Emmanuel. He visits the lowly of station and the lowly of heart. He dwells among the broken and contrite. All right, next we see in the story, these are the longest ones. The rest will go quicker. We see the wise men. What happens when God shows up in the story of those who are outsiders? Daniel says, the presence of these men from the east, the outsiders, Gentiles, not Jews. Hold on. Central to the story, the Jewish story of the Jewish king coming to earth, God becoming the Jewish God, the only God, but the Jewish God becoming man. It's a Jewish story from the heart through and through. And well, we get one little snippet in one small book. I mean, of all the books in the world, there's millions of them. This is what the Bible is, one book, one small book, right? And the Christmas story is a couple pages in the middle of that book. And in the middle of that story, we see Gentiles coming from the East. What are they doing there? They're not Jewish. They don't have any part in this story. They don't belong there. They're not the right nationality. And yet God's like, well, let me see here. Let's write them into this. Because I want to tell you something. It's for all the world. These Gentiles, the inclusion of them, it's a confirmation of God's promise to send a Messiah who would not only be King of the Jews, but a Messiah for the nations. Jesus' kingdom is not a kingdom just for insiders, but for outsiders. Well, that Jesus stuff, that's just a white man's God. No, it's just a Jewish God, right? Whatever color you are, whatever nationality you are, you better be Jewish or you're not getting in. That's all I'm saying. The only way you're getting to heaven is if you're Jewish, period. So you either better be by birth or adopted, right? The Bible says we've been grafted in. We've been adopted. Like the idea of, I'm making you all nervous. You're like, wait a minute, hold on. I thought this was the Christmas story. What are we talking about? We are Jews by adoption now. We're adopted into his family. God only has one family. Right? You get adopted in. You get adopted in. And the thing is, even if you are Jewish, you still, there's still only one gospel. You don't get in just by your family coattails. You have to believe. What's next? The shepherds. What happens when God shows up in the story of people who aren't the right class? Right? You don't have the right last name. You didn't go to the right college. You don't have the right career. Well, you're just fill in the blank, right? Daniel says that Luke is reminding us by mentioning the shepherds that the kingdom of God isn't just for the insiders, but for the outsiders. And like the shepherds, like the poor classes that Mary and Joseph came from. He says, it reminds us that the kingdom of God is often made up, not of the noble and wise, but of the underclass, those people that have no business being near royalty. Listen, come on. This is so good. Emmanuel, God with us, means that God is truly among all classes of people, not simply the connected or well-resourced. God's willing to show up for you. God's willing to enter your story. I don't care what family you came from. I don't care who you were, what black sheep you are. I don't care what job you didn't get. I don't care what college you didn't graduate from. I don't care what echelon you're in. The Christmas story lets us know that. Amen. I hear that. Amen. Thank you. That God is willing, able, and excited about entering your story. Amen? All right, a couple more. The innkeeper. What happens when God shows up with the story of those just minding their own business? Figuratively and literally. The innkeeper had no desire to be involved in this story, and he was literally minding his business, right? When Joseph and Mary went to Nazareth, or to Bethlehem for the census from Nazareth, there was no room for them where? At the inn. We don't find out anything about the innkeeper, but someone had to let them know, right? Someone had to let Joseph and Mary know, sorry, we're all full. Had to let them know that there was no room for them at the inn. But as he was making his final rounds, Daniel says, closing up his establishment and beginning to settle in for the night, this innkeeper likely didn't have the prophet Micah in his head. The couple who suddenly showed up at his door was a disruption. It was an inconvenience. It was a problem that he didn't plan for. This, by the way, is how God often enters our life. Those of you who are disinterested and aren't really that concerned about the bigger God things that are happening, God has a way of just tick, 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 tick. I'm just going to show up and do something right around here. Is that okay? Well, even if it's not, we'll be in the stable. doing miracles, right? God shows up in ways because he knows hearts. He knows whose heart is going to be soft and willing. So you might not know that you had any idea that you wanted to follow Jesus, but God knows. Amen? So your family that you're praying for, your relatives that you're praying for, your neighbor that needs Jesus. Amen? I got a lot of those. God wants to show up in their lives. He says, where we least expect him, he comes most fully. I love that line. Where we least expect him, he comes most fully. He invades our lives. He goes where there is no room, so we might find a home in him. The one who had no home is making a home for us. The one who had no place to lay his head is our rest and our comfort and our joy. All right, we're winding up. Simeon and Anna. What happens when God shows up in the story of those who are faithful and wait on the Lord? We read in Luke chapter 2, there was a righteous man, or there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was a righteous, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting, say waiting. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom that the law required, what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. There was a prophet, also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. Long time. She never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. These two elderly people who had waited with anticipation, who didn't leave their post, who didn't give up, who were faithful. They weren't in it for the weekend. They weren't in it for the big conference, right? They weren't in it for the fame. They weren't in it for what they could get out of it. They had committed their hearts to the Lord and they had continued to look forward for decades. For decades. And we all know stories of those people, whether they're famous people from the past or they're people in your life this day, that have persevered and pressed on and have kept their eyes on the prize and have stayed faithful. And the Christmas story includes those who have stayed faithful for decade, for year after year. God, is this going to be the year? As we're getting ready to come into January, into the new year, God, is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the year? Is this going to be the time when you come back? Is this going to be the time when you show up and redeem us? Is this going to be the year when you redeem Sisseton? Is this going to be the year when you show up in unprecedented ways? I lived worked with Pastor Fearing for, 24 years or whatever it was, just with never a moment where he wasn't anticipating God doing something. Is it going to be now? Are we going to see what we've been longing to see? Is it going to be today? Is it going to be next week? And just living forward that way. Like, I'm in today. I can't do anything about tomorrow or yesterday. I'm living today, but I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm going, is it going to be now? Is this the time? Because I want to be ready. I want to do what God wants me to do. And that was these two guys. They were just hanging on with it, with their last breath, going, all right, is this going to be the moment? But among the crowds that day, not among the waiting parents, not among the religious leaders, was a mysterious old man and a mysterious old woman. Unlike their peers, unlike the cynics, unlike the religious leaders, Anna and Simeon held on to a seemingly impossible wish, grounded in a radical faith in the Scripture's promise of a coming Messiah. Would God appear in the flesh in their day? And I'm just going to throw that out, that there's a principle here. God shows up to those who are faithfully anticipating him. Of all the people around the temple, of all the people in Jerusalem, of all the people in Nazareth, of all the people in Bethlehem, why these people? They were anticipating what God wanted to do. There was this yearning for the great reveal. And so God showed up, not in a way that stopped time, not in a way that caused everybody across the whole earth to see, but in a way that was a soft and subtle invitation to the entire world to come and see. And let me into your story. Because the story stops when the sky lights up, right? Things come to a halt. God says, I don't want a one-time moment with you. I want to invite myself into your story, into how you live, into how you move, not just on Sundays, on every day of the week, in every relationship that you have, everything you set your hand to, every thought you have in your head. I want to be involved in that story. I want to help you write the story of your life, that the days that I've been prepared for you before the creation of time, I want to see them unfold in your life. Amen? Let's finish the last slide. So as we reflect on this Christmas season, I invite you to look afresh at the story of Jesus as told through the lives of those who found their way to the manger, who intersect with the story we tell ourselves every year around fireplaces and in auditoriums and in hidden places around the world. And let's let the characters of Christmas point us back to the one whose light illuminates us all. As we close today, I just want to say, whoever you are in this story, if you don't feel that God has any intention towards you because you're just ordinary, you're nothing special, guess what? You're exactly what God's looking for. If you're one of those saying, well, I'm an outsider. I didn't come from the right family. You just don't know what my childhood was like. You know, just, I'm in the wrong place. I'm nothing. I'm an outsider. You're in exactly the right spot for God to show up in your life. If you're just overwhelmed with grief, with dread, look at Joseph, with betrayal. Now, his story worked out, but at the same time, he had to say yes, because that was, I don't know if you know, but an unexpected baby that's not yours is an interruption. I don't care if it is God. Like, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious either. It was an interruption in Joseph's life. That's not exactly how I planned. That's not how we planned the engagement. That's not how we thought this was going to go. We had big wedding plan. Now I've got to alter my dress, like, because I'm with child, right? It was an inconvenience. The innkeeper, he's just trying to mind his own business. If you happen to be listening on the radio today or watching the video and you're like, yeah, I'm not even really about this. I don't even know how I got on this. Just want to say this might be a divine moment for you, because you might be like the innkeeper. You're just doing your thing. You're just trying to pay the bills and pay your staff and to get someone to show up for work, for crying out loud, right? You're just doing your thing. And I'm just saying God's got a divine appointment for you today. Let him in. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes, not just to the Christmas story, but to the God of the Christmas story, the God who revealed himself in this beautiful and subtle way to all who are listening. And for the rest of us, be faithful. Be faithful. With your dying breath, let it be, come, Lord Jesus. I want to be in your story. I want you in my story. Faithful, anticipating. Is this the day? Is it today, God, when you're going to come and do God things? Amen?